Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, December 9th, 2025. I'm happy to be here today. I'm happy to be back after a couple of weeks off for the holidays. And I'm very happy that C.A. Brooks is joining me for our December 2025 Meeting of the Minds. What a rocket of a year. It's just amazing to think, you know, Christmas is 2 weeks away. Christmas is the week after next. It's just incredible. But as I said, it feels really good to be back live after a couple of weeks off because of the holiday and having family in town. And CA and I missed our November visit because she was out of town on a well-deserved vacation. So it seems like a very long time since we've talked, and I'm really looking forward to it. We always have a good discussion, and you are invited to be a part of it. The show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you would like to join the chat, go to the 12radio.com chat room and then click the YouTube link posted under my banner, and you can join the chat on YouTube. You know, and you can feel free to ask questions or comment in the chat room. We may or may not have time for readings today because we really just like to talk and we let the conversation take us wherever it does. So we'll see how the conversation goes. If you would like a reading, you can find both of us on 12listen.com. I'm available every day, usually mid to later morning Pacific into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately, and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. If you would like to be notified, we have specials several times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, and we also celebrate other things like 12day. If you'd like to be notified of our specials, meaning lower rates on calls and chats, go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions, and all you do is leave your email address. And I just want to say thanks again for being here today, and thank you for listening however and whenever you do. There is programming 24/7 on 12radio.com, and you can find archives of all the shows in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. 12 Radio is a great source of information, inspiration, and support, so I encourage you to take advantage. There are, you know, just many different voices on 12 Radio, many different passions, and it's just fun to listen to them. So, and not just fun, but valuable. So you can find all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section there, and you can find shows for me and also for CA on YouTube, because we've been live streaming on YouTube for a few months now. So I just want to say thanks to Serena for producing the show today. And I always go through this first part quickly when CA is my guest, because the point is to talk to CA. So as you know, I'm always glad to have her on the show with me. She visits once a month. She's a 12listen advisor, a clairvoyant astrologer. She's an animal communicator and an avid student of A Course in Miracles, among other things. She writes the Week Ahead section of The Power Peak, Mark Husson's weekly newsletter. Pardon me. She hosts Everyday Astrology here on 12 Radio, which immediately precedes Empowerment Live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific and streams live on YouTube. She has podcasts of her Course in Miracles show available in the on-demand section at 12radio.com as well. And more than anything, she's a good friend and someone I just love to talk to. Our Meeting of the Minds, it's called that because it's where we can bring everything and anything to the table and draw on, you know, years of study for both of us in many different things, spirituality, astrology, tarot, feng shui, you know, stories about our families, dogs, anything, anything and everything is welcome. So, and, you know, and truly, I think we could probably talk for days. So this is always a fun show. And, I will have CA join me in just a few minutes while I set up the beginning, at least the beginning of our conversation. So, you know, now we are more than in the thick of the holidays. As I said, Christmas is 2 weeks away. And I'm really thrilled because when my family was in town, my family being my son, daughter-in-law, and my three grandchildren, over Thanksgiving week, I had a Christmas party for my whole family. We call it Cousins Christmas. And my brother's son and his wife and his grandchildren will be in Indiana, where her family is. And of course, my kids are going to be back home, are back home now in Illinois. So what I did is I gave everyone their presents, not just the kids, not just the people that won't be in town for Christmas, but I gave everybody their presents at that party. So I'm done. I don't, you know, I'm sure I will get together with my brother and sister-in-law and my niece and her husband over Christmas, but I don't have to tote presents like that's a big burden. That sounded silly. But it just felt really good to give everybody their presents that night. Everybody got to see each other open their presents, which felt really good. And they all liked them. They all liked them, which made it even better. So, that was really cool and a great party and just a really lovely week together. But before Thanksgiving, and I mentioned this on a show a few weeks ago, my son called me and asked me to go to Illinois to help with my grandchildren over Christmas break. And because they were going to be here for Thanksgiving and because we were going to celebrate everything then, I was happy because I get to be home for Christmas. I mean, I was really happy about that. That just felt so good to me. But, you know, the sitter that they were counting on decided to go out of town. So I thought about it and I agreed to go. I agreed to go because, I don't know, I felt obligated. I felt like it was the right thing to do. And I didn't want to make him mad. That's really part of it. I didn't want to make him mad. I didn't want to, not that they would have been mad. I didn't want to disappoint them. So I agreed to go. But due to several, you know, since then, and especially over Thanksgiving week, due to several seen and ignored and unforeseen circumstances, it became apparent that, you know, really going was not wise. It was just not a wise thing to do. And I wrote about it in my PowerPeak article this week. If you want more detail on it, you can read it there. But the bottom line, and this is what I want to talk about with CA, is I overrode what I thought was an emotional response to being asked to go, like out of the blue. Like I'm a Taurus. You asked me to do something, and Mark Husson put it perfectly. He says, you ask a Taurus or an earth sign, especially a Taurus, to do something out of the blue, and the first answer is going to be no, because we have to metabolize it. We have to process it and think about it. And you know, I thought about it overnight, and then I thought, nope, I need to, you know, my purpose is to help and to serve and to, you know, do these things that I talk about all the time. And so, you know, I'll go. And I did not want to, but I agreed to go. And it turns out, in retrospect, that emotional response was not just emotion, but intuition. And after I said yes, one thing after another showed up telling me to think again. The most important one, and this is one that I knew about when I actually agreed to go, is Grace, my little dog, my little Bichon. Is, you know, she's my soul sister. And I have a friend who was available to take care of her in my house. She houses and Grace sits for me. And Grace loves her. She loves Grace. No problem there. But, you know, I work from home and Grace and I are pretty much attached at the hip. I mean, she really is my family. You know, she's more than just my dog. And she'll be 11 January 2nd. In September, she had to have some teeth pulled, and they didn't have time to get all of them. So she's has an appointment this Friday to get the rest pulled. And that was a whole guilt trip for me because I've really done my best to take care of her teeth, and I really had to get over that because it's really a genetic thing with Bichons. And I felt terrible, and I still feel terrible. But when she had them the first few pulled in September, It took her a really long time to get over that first round. And I just can't leave her. You know, I would be leaving her less than 10 days after she has her teeth pulled. And I just couldn't do it. I mean, I just couldn't do it. She, as I said, loves my friend Becky, who takes care of her, but Becky has to work. So Grace would be on her own for periods of time, long periods of time, which under different circumstances would be fine. But if she's not feeling good, if she's still getting over a traumatic event like having her teeth pulled, it'd be totally unfair to leave her. But, you know, it's interesting because the last appointment was, she shakes like a leaf when I take her to her groomer, who she loves and who loves her. It's just funny. Now, Grace can be a drama queen too, but she's still not quite right, you know, after that. And I know, you know, when I took her the last time, I took her to her vet, and her vet did it. And I have Banfield, which I really like, which you pay monthly if you're in a different part of the country and don't know what that is. You pay a monthly premium, like insurance premium. And then she gets her comprehensive exams, and there's very little that you pay for out of pocket throughout the year to keep her healthy. So, and I know having these teeth out are going to help keep her, will keep her healthy. I mean, she got livelier after she got over the first ones, after her mouth healed. But her vet did it, and this time she's going to a dental center, which is still Banfield, but this is all they do. So I'm feeling and thinking that it will go more smoothly. They also kept her under anesthesia a little longer than they normally would have. And she had a reaction to the pain meds, which they will know not to give her again, and I will know not to accept again. But it was really something. And just thinking about that, I really came to the conclusion that I couldn't leave her. I just couldn't leave her after that. And but the final confirmation that it was a no, that it was a no. And this is among other things. These are the two biggest ones. There were others. Was that I caught the bug that my grandchildren were getting over. My 4 and 5 year old grandchildren who slept in my bed. They were getting over. And I got sick and I lost my voice the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And that's when I knew I absolutely had to say no. I just had to say no, because the last time, last Christmas when I was there, I did get really sick and I lost my voice and it took a really long time to get it back to normal. So that was the final answer, so to speak, from my intuition. So it was interesting because I was sitting at the table after breakfast that morning, Saturday or Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. And I mean, I literally had no voice. And so I was just, you know, when I came to that conclusion and made the decision that I needed to back out, I was just surrendering how I was going to tell my son, when I was going to tell my son. I don't know. I give it away. I give it away and I leave it to, you know, the infinite God mind that meets every demand. And as I'm doing that, my phone rang and it was Jared, my son, calling to see how I was. And it was like, you know, you want to tell him? Here you go. Here's the opportunity right in front of my face. So I was just very honest. And I said, do you understand? You know, I'm hoping you understand where I'm coming from. And he said, I do. So that was good. And it was not easy to back out. I felt bad. But I'll tell you what, the relief I felt after I just was honest and neutral and said what I had to say was immense. And that was the affirmation that really, truly was the right thing to do. And my son and daughter-in-law are fine and still love me. And that's a good thing. And I was, you know, but I kept thinking about it. And the reason why I'm talking about it today is I kept thinking about it. I was really kind of confused about how I could have misinterpreted intuition as resistance, you know, resistance. and fear, you know, that came up when he said, come to over Christmas. I still can't even explain how I felt. I was trying to practice what I preach, right? Give, love, serve, do that, you know, demonstrate God, give, love, serve. But actually, I was letting what I thought I should do override my intuition. Alan Watts tells this story in his Audible book called Four Ways to Center. He said, in the beginning, and this is attributed to someone else, and I don't know who it is, but in the beginning, God made a dictionary of all the words that man would ever need. And when he finished it, he took it, he went to visit Gabriel to take it over to show Gabriel. But he left the dictionary in the taxi. So the devil got into the taxi and added two words, ought and should. I love that story. I love that. And that kept coming into my head, and I had to find it in that Audible book so I could get it right. But I think during the holidays, we run into ought and should more than usual, especially where family's concerned. So I just, you know, I encourage you to follow your intuition. It is guidance from the infinite self, which is the self of all concerned, right? Cause and effect. We never know. You know, we don't know. It's the self of all concerned. So we can trust that wisdom, that infinite wisdom, to take care of us and whoever else is concerned in whatever we're doing. And that's really a good thing to remember. And on that note, I want to say welcome to CA. Thank you for joining me, and Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everything. Happy December. I'm good.
Good.
Well, and you always say, well, what do you think about what I said? So I'm anticipating. And I actually want to say a couple of things. One, I just do want to do that shout out to what you said about Taurus, because to me, that is like just an iconic indicator of Taurus, which is no, no, no. They need, I mean, whenever we're under the influence of a Taurus moon, or we have planets in Taurus, or if somebody has a lot of Taurus in their chart, it is so important to know that that's the first thing. They don't like to be pushed. You know, they don't want to have to make up their minds really quickly. So instead of seeing that as a negative, just say, you know what? I always need time to think about something. And there again, some of the fire signs, you know, Sagittarius and Leo and Aries are going to go, well, make up your mind. Just say what you think, you know. But it's like, that's not how Taurus works. Taurus really does need to think about some things. And so the best thing is to say, you know, and maybe it doesn't happen every time, but just say, hey, I always need a little bit of time to process something. So I'll give you my decision later. So it probably is better.
Which I did.
Yes, I know,
and
but
still overwrote it.
I just want to give that shout out because,
thanks,
you know, it's accepting who you are and how you process information. So I did want to do that shout out. Now I'm going to go in a slightly different direction, but I don't want to forget it. Did you say that Grace's birthday is January 2nd?
Yep.
Because that's Tucker's birthday.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, oh, I'm not. I'm like, did she really say January 2nd? Now, he's only going to be 5.
Yeah.
But I can't believe we have dogs that have the same birthday.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so as I'm sitting here, I quickly calculated a chart, even though I don't have a birth time or anything like that. But she has the sun sitting right next door to Pluto in Capricorn. So boy, she's quite the strong character. Even though she may quake, she's a strong character for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Very interesting personality. So anyway, I just had to get that out of the way. But the whole story that you're telling, in some ways, that's our life. And it's our life as psychics, or it's our life as just people, of just trying to kind of separate out and ferret out, so to speak. You know, am I just acting emotionally? You know, what is it? What's the underpinning of what's going on here? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that I'm really concerned about? What's my overall goal? And I think, you know, boy, that struck a chord when you talked about grace. Mm-hmm. Because even though I've had Tucker now for, you know, almost 4 years, I didn't get him, you know, in his first, he was already a year old when I got him. This last time when I went on vacation, I just really, really struggled with leaving him. Mm-hmm. And mostly because I just didn't have a great setup for somebody to take care of him.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm like, can I really just like cancel this vacation? Or can I really tell my family I'm not leaving because I'm not willing to leave him? You know, but that's how it felt to me. And I realized I was literally just so incredibly anxious about what's going to happen. But I called a friend of mine who I know she is a professional, you know, dog sitter, but she doesn't usually do like overnights like that. You know, she's more that I'm going to go in and check on him and give him food and walk him and that kind of thing. But, and she mostly does cats. She does cats and she does a huge tortoise. Believe it or not, there's this huge tortoise that lives in this community and he has lived on that property. I don't even, at least through two owners. By the way, because the last person that sold that property said, I will only sell to somebody who agrees to keep the tortoise. And the whole backyard, the whole backyard is designed. It's the tortoise's home, you know?
Oh, how so, funny.
You know what?
That is so great.
Yeah. I told my friend the next time you house sit for them, I've got to go over and see that turtle, you know, or tortoise. Mm-hmm. And she goes, okay, sure. Let me know. But anyway, she does that. So I thought, okay, I can, and she's a good friend. So I can trust her. And I said, I just need some recommendations because I knew she knew other people. And she goes, yeah, I've got this other person that I can recommend, you know? And she said, so call her and see what she says. So I was kind of thinking about it through the day, but I hadn't made the call yet when my friend called and said, did you call her yet? And I said, no, but I'm going to this evening. And she goes, well, I will take care of Tucker. And so that was like a weight off my shoulders for a variety of reasons, because Tucker already knows her and her husband well. And we have even traveled together just on short trips, you know, car trips. And so Tucker knows them. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, my God, that's what I needed. Mm-hmm. I just needed to feel like he was in good hands and that he was safe. And it wasn't just somebody who, you know, because I've talked to several house sitters and they do come in and they'll even spend the night, but they won't necessarily spend the day because they've got school or they've got work or they've got other things going on. And I totally understand that. But unfortunately, because I work at home, he's used to being with me 24/7.
Right.
You know, and I thought, he's going to do okay for a few hours, but what's it going to be like for him for 10 days if he's just alone all day long?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. It was just like breaking my heart.
Oh, I know. I feel your pain. I feel it. I feel it. I've been there. Yep. Yep. I know.
Yeah. So when you were talking about that, I thought, Kelly, I know exactly what you're feeling. And despite how much you love your son and his wife and the kids and everything, I can imagine just on that thing alone, just going, I'm not going to leave her. She just had this traumatic, you know, she's going to go through this procedure. Hopefully it won't be traumatic, but she's going to go through this procedure and I just can't leave her, you know? And after you have already had Christmas in effect, you know? So, but going back to the main, you know, making the decision, one thing that I think is so difficult is really knowing the difference. Like, how do we trust our intuition? Because of course, there are certainly times and people that will just, you know, they don't, what I would say is they don't process it very well. They just want something to go a certain way. So then all of a sudden it becomes God's will or it becomes intuition.
Sure.
You know, without ever really giving it thought. But one of the things you said, like just like, and even what I felt, we can listen to our emotions or to the psychology of it. And if we just are feeling that anxiety, just feeling like this doesn't feel right, and I just can't come to terms with it, that to me is when I just know this is what I've got to do. And I've got to make Yes. This is the no, and I've got it. And I was in a situation like that, actually going on a trip with somebody. I mean, talk about, I still to this day can't believe it. I was actually going to Europe with somebody, but a number of things, they, like you said, they just kept going wrong. Just kept going wrong. And everything kept going that way. And I literally, within 24 hours of leaving, I called the airport and changed my ticket. And I didn't go. I mean, I literally changed a ticket and went someplace else. To this day, Kelly, I mean, I cannot even believe I did it. And talk about, you know, the dread of calling Jared. I have to call my friend and say, yeah, I know we're supposed to be getting on a plane tomorrow morning, but I'm not going. Wow. And by the way, though, her husband was going with her.
Oh, okay.
And they were staying with friends in England.
Oh.
And that was part of the problem, is there wasn't room for me at that place. So I needed to find a hotel or some other place on my own. And I had never been there before.
Oh, that's a big deal.
Yeah. And things were really, 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 really busy. And my friend had ended up saying something to me like, well, you know, just find someplace. And there was just something about it where I don't have time to just find someplace. And it didn't feel, I mean, it just came to this turning point where I realized we're really not going together.
No.
You know, she's staying someplace and she just wants me to find some hotel.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just, it just built and built and built. And like I said, all the dominoes kept falling to where it wasn't working. You know, and even my attempts at reservations wasn't working. And because I'd never been to England, I didn't know, you know, I didn't know the geography or anything else. So I had no idea even where I was looking. And I finally thought, why are you doing this? Why are you even doing this? And it was a turning point in our relationship, but I think it actually was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, in fact, I even, because both of our planes were late afternoon, I just said, let's get together, let's have breakfast, let's just hash this out. And that's exactly what we did.
Good.
And I just told her, I said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have committed in the first place. This is a very, very busy time for me. In fact, because of the work that I was doing at that point, I had already taken 5 trips in less than 6 weeks.
Ooh.
That was part of the problem. They were all business trips and they were all lined up. And I should have known better. You know, you can't be gone every single week on business and then just think you're going to get on a plane and fly away. And I had dogs at home. So see, that was complicated too. You know, just arranging everything. Nothing was working. But
right.
I remember how what played into it so much was exactly what you're talking about, which is, what is she going to think? Is she going to be angry with me? What kind of a person pulls out at the last minute?
Yeah.
But I also thought, but what kind of person pushes themselves into something when they know it's not the right thing to do? You made a mistake. You should not have committed in the first place.
Right.
You know? And so I just had to do it. I just had to do it.
You did, because it would have been a miserable trip. Oh. I mean, I think that was foretelling of just a really bad time in a place that's special or should be special.
Yes, yes.
And should be like a trip of a lifetime, you know?
Right. And I'm dreading it. I'm dreading every moment. And like I said, even 24 hours before, I still didn't have a reservation. So I'm going to get to the airport. And I mean, I didn't even have a reservation at a hotel yet.
Oh, at a hotel. Right. Yeah.
Right. At a hotel. Right.
Yeah.
I had the airline ticket. I just, but it just goes back to everything you're saying. And sometimes, you know, and I don't know that I ever worked it out really well, but I realized part of it was, yeah, I want to be friends. I want to go with her. I want to do this. This will be fun. Because she loved to travel. And I wanted to be her good friend and do that, but it wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right trip.
Right.
You know, but anyway, so I guess the way I'd wrap this up is just by saying sometimes I will think about something, because there again, somebody will ask me to do something and my first thought is, I don't want to do that. But then I sit and I go, why don't you want to do it?
Yeah.
And I realize that part of it is, oh, just because, you know, you wanted the day to go this way and blah, blah, blah. And I realized, no, you know, my overall goal is like what you said. I want to be of service. I want to be that person who can pitch hit, you know, pinch hit. And so I thought, yeah, so forget it. You can rearrange a few things and go do this. And I almost always feel good that I did it. But when you've got this like dark cloud just hanging over you, and you know something is wrong and you just can't shake it, then it's time to really look at it. So whether you call it emotion, whether you call it intuition, if you just can't shake this, this is really wrong, this is not what needs to happen right now, even if you can't intellectually make it make sense, that to me is when I have to really listen to the intuition. I may not even know why it's wrong. And, you know, that's the other thing I'd say. You know, sometimes we have no idea. And then we find, this is what amazes me, is sometimes when I'm really dreading something, like even if it's just going out to lunch or going out to dinner or doing something fun, and I'm just like, but it's just not right. And I'm not up to it, or I've been sick, or I'm too busy, or whatever it is. And then I cancel and the person goes, oh, thank God, this was just not working out for me.
Yeah.
No, why didn't you say anything?
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. That was what dawned on me is, you know, that infinite self is the self of everyone involved.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And so it's just, and it's a no mistakes universe. I mean, it just is. So that was like icing on the cake, that realization, you know, I don't mean to disappoint you, and I love you and I would do anything for you, but I can't do this. I mean, that's really pretty much what I said to my son. And, you know, there were, like I said, those were just a couple of the things that showed up that were like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Wake up, sweetheart. This is not right. But yeah. Interesting.
Well, yeah, and that's it. You never know what the ultimate curriculum is going to be.
No.
But you know, you can kind of see what your part is. And my guess is it's going to end up really good for them for some reason that you could not have even anticipated.
Exactly.
You know? And or let's say that you got there and you got sicker, you know? You had lost your voice and then you get sicker, and so they're taking care of you. Instead of the other way around.
And that's what happened last year. I mean, and I just don't, want to do that again. You know, I just don't want to do that again. That was like, you know, it's no fun to get sick and lose my voice, but I thought better now than go, because it was much worse after Christmas last year. So. No, I felt that was grace. I really do. I feel that was just the grace of God that happened, because that was the ultimate no. Now it's time to call and say, you're not doing it.
Right. And it's hard. It's definitely hard. But in fact, I just had a conversation with somebody this morning before radio, where I literally said to them, I said, I know that we often think we know exactly the right thing to do or the way somebody else should handle a situation or solve a problem. I said, but you know, one of the best gifts you can give yourself is back off and just say, I don't know
exactly what
the perfect manifestation is. I'm willing to be shown that, but I have to trust. I have to trust myself, and I have to trust this other person, that even though it looks like they're making a horrible decision, I can't imagine how that's going to turn out, that you've got to trust that maybe that's exactly the thing that needed to happen on their particular path. And where do we, I mean, and that's something that I'm consciously always working on, is I backing off and not thinking that I know what's best for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's the oldest daughter syndrome, because I've got all these younger siblings. But, you know, it's like, it always feels like, in a sense, my job of going, hey, don't do that. That's a mistake. Do it this way. Do it this way. And it's like, no, trusting all these people on their path, in their growth. And that even when I don't understand how that's going to play a part, it's going to play a part, and be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, well, relax into that.
Yeah. Because everybody came here to do the same thing, and nobody got cheated on the God factor. Nobody.
Right.
Nobody. And that's what I always think. It's like, okay, just back off. Let them, you know, we come here to fall down, skin our knees, and realize we can get back up again. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and that's us. The truth of our being is what helps us to realize that. So if we're in rescuing people, we're infringing. We're infringing on their evolution and where they are and their perfection of their infinite self.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, in A Course in Miracles, I mean, this is where I get this. And I don't know that it's actually in A Course in Miracles or if it's just one of those analogies that people use. But it's as if there's this huge piece of glass and it's shattered. And every single piece is part of the whole. Every single piece, and you know, you can call it whatever you want, you know, the Son of God, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But we are all pieces of the shattered glass, and all the pieces look different. So, you know, some pieces are bigger, some are smaller, some, they're all different, but they're all, like you say, the same stuff. They're all glass. There's nothing different. Everybody has their curriculum. Everybody has their access to that inner God or that inner spirit or that inner guide. Everybody has the same thing, but we keep getting stuck on looking at the shapes and sizes, you know, the appearance of it, and going, well, that piece of glass isn't like me. I don't have anything in common with that person or with that thing. And in fact, you know, one of the teachers I study with, you know, and I say I mostly listen to podcasts because he is now actually passed, but he talks about, you know, and he does this to kind of provoke people, but he goes, and by the way, all those pieces of glass, that includes the computer that doesn't work and that you're angry at it. That includes the piece of bread. That includes a toaster that didn't work like you wanted it to this morning. All these shapes and sizes and forms, all of these forms literally came from the same piece of glass. And they all look different. But, you know, being so this whole idea of being kind. Well, can you practice being kind to the toaster that didn't pop your bread when you wanted it to? Or can you practice? Can you practice being patient or kind with the software that doesn't seem to be working correctly? You know, he talks about that. He goes, you know, we want to make all these distinctions. Well, that's not a person, or that animal doesn't have a spirit, or, you know, making all these. He goes, no. Every single piece of form, everything that you think you see in the material universe is literally nothing more than a form of that one piece of shattered glass.
Exactly.
And practice. Yes. Yeah. Practice. Just practice being kind. And boy, I'll tell you, that one really does get me because, oh, you know, I just want to get angry when my computer doesn't work right or when something, you know, and it's like, ugh, you know, and just like, just get angry. And he goes, you don't even, you know, practice with people, practice with your interactions, but practice on everything.
Yeah.
You know, that flower, that bumblebee has its purpose. Mm-hmm. It has its little life, you know, purpose of whatever it's doing out there. And you don't have to judge it. You don't have to see it as being your enemy, because in the end, you're all part of the piece of glass. You're part of the oneness. Mm-hmm. And that analogy actually helps me because, you know, whenever you talk about oneness, it's like, well, what the heck does that look like, you know, or feel like? Huh. But he goes, we're just all pieces of that shattered glass.
Yeah.
And we think we're separate. We think we're different because the shape and size is different. He goes, you're not. You're not different. You're all part of, like you would say, the God or the, you know, the universe. I mean, however you want to say it, we're all part of one.
Infinite self.
Mm-hmm. Infinite self. There you go. I knew you had a phrase for it.
I love that. That's big to me. That's
so
expansive to me.
Yeah. So going back to the decisions, you know, there's no right or wrong, but when we just can't come to terms with something, we need to start listening to it because we're probably, you know, we're not doing them any good either. When we, you know, like I said, if you had gone and you had been resentful or gotten sick, you would have gone, well, this turned out badly. You know?
Yeah, well, and they feel terrible. I mean, since 2020, I've gone, you know, every year, and 4 out of 5 years, I came homesick. And Kristen is like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, she's like, I'm so sorry. And I know it's really hard to be sick in somebody else's house, you know. And so, you know, they feel bad because, I mean, those kids are just, you know, little cootie bugs. I mean, they just are.
Well, they are. But you know what I was also thinking, and of course, I'm not sure it's worth just super analyzing it, but I know sometimes when I get sick, it's because I finally kind of just let down. Okay, yeah. I don't have this responsibility. I don't have this responsibility. Right. And when I allow my body to just go, oh, okay, just take a breather here, all of a sudden, I feel like I get sick. And I wasn't allowing myself that before, but being sick, then it gives me permission to take care of myself.
Right. It's you just agree with my adversary and lay down. It's right. Rest that's needed. And it will pass. It will pass. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to judge it or yourself or, you know, what did I do? And I'd been taking these like massive supplements to boost my immune system. Uh-huh. And my sister-in-law gave them to me. Her naturopath gave them to her. And I took them. I don't think I missed a day from last March when I started taking them until now. And I doubled up on them when the kids were here. And I still caught that cold, that virus. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I said, one of the things that I said to Jared is, because I was really feeling bad the day that we were talking physically. And I said, I'm just so disappointed that these didn't work. But then I'm really glad to have found out they didn't work then, you know, not going, and I'm not saying for certain foretelling the future, but I'm pretty sure after all the times I've come home sick that I probably would have caught something over Christmas. Well, I mean, yeah. not to be negative, but that's just how it's been. That's just how it's been.
And that's it. And you were sick after they came in November.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But you're right.
And not to demean them, but you know, they are cootie bugs, you know. They're just like,
oh my gosh.
They're out there in the world picking up everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was they were just so funny and so fun to be around. But yeah. And I felt bad because, like I said, they slept in my bed, but the last couple nights they stayed with my brother and sister-in-law. They have an apartment above their garage, so they stayed there because there's no way. I mean, I'm coughing and sneezing and everything, and it's like I really don't want a couple of little kids in my bed. Right. I just, you know, Grace and I want to go to sleep.
And, you know, I don't know. Like I said, my tendency is to want to overanalyze it. But, you know, I would also offer, I used to get bronchitis. That was my chronic thing. Mm-hmm. And I stopped getting it when one time I just said, I just can't take this anymore. I just don't want this in my life anymore. I am so sick and tired of it. But it was also, it came with the realization, I conveniently got bronchitis because I didn't want to talk. You know, there was something I didn't want to do, whether it was at work and it was giving a presentation, when I was in, you know, because I used to do a lot of, as you know, a lot of medical meetings and presentations when I was in medical research. And, you know, I was just wearing myself out, just totally wearing myself out. And that's it. I just want to relax. I just don't want to talk anymore. I just don't want to do this. And so I'd get bronchitis, you know, and all of a sudden I'm going, don't you realize this is your defense mechanism? It's your excuse. You can tell somebody I've got bronchitis. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm never going to have, you know, bronchitis or never have a cold or never lose my voice again. I mean, every once in a while it just happens, you know, you wake up and it's like, oh my God, I can barely speak. But just recognizing, you don't have to have bronchitis not to talk. That came from years of what you're talking about, not listening to my intuition and not following what I knew was the thing. Instead of just saying, no, I can't do those three presentations, or no, I can't do that, I would just get bronchitis. So I wouldn't get, you know, so I didn't have to stand up and say, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. And you had an excuse and it was reasonable.
Yeah. Yep. And so, you know, it's so important to listen to our intuition. And it is a continual growth, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like just one day you go, okay, I listen to my intuition. I know exactly how to do this. It is a continual process of where we feel more and more comfortable all the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's also, you know, it's like a conversation, so to speak, like an inner conversation. And because that's how I, that's how I navigate my days. You know, this is my to-do list. And this is what I think I'm doing today, but I don't ever box it in. You know, it's like, okay, you know, your will. Show me. If there's something else I need to do, just let me know. Just let me know. Or how do I do this? I don't know how to do this. That's three magic words. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know. And then here comes an answer. And I mean, like, literally, here comes an answer. Like Jared calls me.
Right.
I don't know how to say this to him. Here, well, here's your opportunity, and just get neutral and say what you have to say. But that's it. That's how you practice intuition. You open to it and then you follow. And you don't always find a pot of gold at the end. You know, I mean, that's not the thing, but you get used to it and you develop your language with spirit. And I think we each have our own. I really do.
I do too. And what I would say is, following those magical words of I do not know, my magical words then become, but I'm willing to become willing to know.
Oh, absolutely. Show me. Show me.
I'm willing to listen, but oftentimes it really is, I'm not even willing to listen. I go, I'm willing to be willing to listen.
Right.
You know, that's where I'm sitting. I don't know. But I'm listening. I'm willing. I'm inching over towards you. You know, that kind of thing. And that just changes everything.
It does. And I don't know is humble.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a yielding just in saying those words. Yes. I don't know. I need help.
Right.
Because I don't know. So what's the best course of action? What is the best thing to do? What is the highest and best? And you know, for everybody concerned in whatever situation it is.
Yes.
And that's, it just feels good because you feel like you're, I don't know, you get in a good flow.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I was thinking about a person who just has to be in control of every single thing and would never say, I don't know. Would never say that. They know and they're right. However, what I realize is going back to this person's childhood, she was she really had to raise herself, literally. Mm-hmm. She had to raise herself. So saying, I don't know, was tantamount to maybe dying. She had to know. She had to figure it out. You know, at a very, very early age, she had to literally move out of her house and start supporting herself. Mm-hmm. Like at 10.
Oh, wow.
At 10 years old. Yeah. And just because of circumstances. But you know what? She did it. So she found somebody to live with, and she, you know, agreed to take care of their children, or agreed to clean their house and cook and, you know, all this stuff. But what I realize is that when you've got these really stuck patterns of that means my survival, then later when it doesn't mean your survival, it's really hard to say, I don't know.
Yeah,
because I have to know. I have to know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, okay, so just relax. And even with her, just relax and understand that's a really hard pattern for her because safety and security has always been contingent upon knowing the answer.
Right.
You know,
right.
So.
Well, and it's also, I had a client that I talked to who was a manager. I can't remember what IT or something like that. And I said, you know, those words, I don't know. And he goes, I can't say that.
Right.
No, I'm the manager. And I said, but wait a minute. These are two different things. Yes, to do your job, you have to know. But this is allowing wisdom. When you say, I don't know, you are opening the door for wisdom far beyond you to show itself.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to be the instrument for that wisdom. And it's two different things. Yes, in your job, you can't tell your subordinates you don't know because you're the boss. But this is different. And this expands how well you can do your job as a manager.
Right.
But it's two different things. It's not admitting you don't, it's two different things, and it's hard to put it into words, but hopefully that was it's two different things. You know, it's like, okay, what is the best way to go? I don't know the best way to go or the best way to handle this, you know, and man, because it shows up. I mean, it just shows up all the time when I do that. I mean, I just.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing, amazing way.
I don't
to
know,
learn.
But yeah. I'll find out.
Yeah. And you will. And
yes,
you will.
I'll find out. Yeah. And yeah, oh my gosh, we got to close the show, Kelly.
I know, CA.
We're right.
I'm sad.
I know. Our last show of this particular year.
Yeah.
It's going to be so exciting. So thank you very much for
wonderful
conversations and opportunities to share your show this year.
Oh, my blessing, CA.
It's been great. It's been great. So thank you. And thanks to everybody who is listening today.
Yeah. And I appreciate you being here as always. And what do you have going on? Anything special?
Well, everything. And, you know, I realized 12 days this week.
I know.
I forgot to announce that
Friday.
On my show. Friday's 12th day. So yeah,
it is
lots
one,
of
two
exciting
day.
Things. Yeah. And just going with the flow and enjoying the season and enjoying life.
Good. Well, everyone, thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world. I'm Kelly Whetstone, and I just wish you a very, very blessed week, very happy holidays, and just enjoy. And it's okay to say, I don't know, because that really, truly does let a thing greater than you, that which does know, take over. And that's not a bad thing. So have a great week. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.